morning, everybody. How we doing? Huh? How come you're here? Wake up. Right, I know. Some of you there at sunrise service, and here you are, and you're still wide awake. How many people have enough caffeine in their blood right now? I'm just wondering. Okay, yeah. Some not quite enough. There is more caffeine back there if you need it, I guess. But why don't we stand? You're welcome to sit if you have to, but why don't we stand? Let's give God the glory and the praise that he deserves. Amen. Wrong song. Risen. And when you stop and think about the song we just sang, it's the whole gospel, you know. How long have we been singing this song? 30 years. 30 years at least, I would think. And if you stop and really think about the words, you know, he came from heaven to earth. Why? To show us the way to the Father, to show us how to live day by day. And from there, he goes to the cross. Why does he go to the cross? I know you're all standing here stunned. Why did he go to the cross? We know. That's right. Every single one of us to forgive, to pay the debt that none of us could pay by that sacrifice on the cross with his blood, the perfect sacrifice sent from God, and God himself being crucified. From there, he goes into the grave. And the Bible tells us from the grave, he goes down to Hades, and he preaches to those who've been waiting for the Messiah. They were looking forward to the Messiah, waiting to see him. Christ went down there for 3 days. He preaches. And then he comes back to earth. And for 40 days, he walks the earth and shows the disciples and continues to teach the disciples that he is, in fact, God. And he is able to do everything that he said. And that's the power of the resurrection. But you can imagine, you know, thinking about the disciples, we're all, in a very real sense, we're all disciples. We're followers of Jesus. Now, here's these guys that were hanging out with him for 3 years. They get to see Jesus perform miracles, feed thousands of people, cure the blind, the lame, the sick. He even raises somebody from the dead, Lazarus. They get to touch him and hang with him and just hang on every word. What an amazing experience. And then all of a sudden, there's their Messiah. There's their leader, the Christ, and he's hanging on a cross. Can you imagine the confusion they must have felt, as well as the fear? And how many of us are really kind of like that at times?
The gates and doors were barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through, drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gates began to rattle and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window, I looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told me where she'd been. She said they'd moved him in the night, but none of us knows where. Stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. So we both ran toward the garden, and John ran on ahead. They found the stone, an empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the wine and sheets they'd wrapped him in were just an empty shell. An hour where they'd taken him was more than I could. Oh, something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, and then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. But suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. So I fell down on my knees and I just clung to him and cried. And as he raised me to my feet and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just vanished in his peace. That's 'cause he is alive.
He's alive,
yes, he's alive.
He's alive.
Oh,
gates are open wide. Yes, he's alive. Hallelujah. Yes, I know he's alive.
He's alive and
I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. Yes, he's alive.
He's alive.
Oh, he's alive. He's alive.
What an awesome thing to think that we serve a living God. You know, it's not an idol, it's not a concept, it's a person, and he is alive. And, you know, the evidence for the resurrection was so overwhelming that if anybody could have proven that that event didn't happen, then all of Christianity would fall apart, okay? But the evidence is there, and part of that evidence is the fact that, you know, here's the disciples that have been hiding in a room, and all of a sudden, here's Jesus, right? Now, you can imagine that what kind of fire that would have put under them. So our hope, you know, my question for each and every one of us is, what is our hope in? You know, is it in the things we see? And I think a lot of times, if we're honest, it is. You know, we see things a certain way. We don't have full understanding like God has. And we get depressed and we can freak out. We can do all those things because our hope sometimes is in this world and in the stuff of this world. And it has a bigger hold on us than we even imagine a lot of the times. But our hope is and should be in Jesus. As we sing this next song, I would ask for you not to just, we all get in the habit of just singing words and not really thinking about them. In this particular song, I would ask you to please consider every word that you're about to sing.
My soul, this cornerstone, this
Check out these words here.
No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's rush high to the final breath, Jesus commands my death.
Those words there, no power in hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck us from his hand. If you are his, you are his. And I think our Lord would want you to be certain of that today. If you're not sure you're his, you can be sure by asking him to come into your heart and turning from your sin, because we all are sinners and have fallen short to the glory of God. And then he will do the rest. He will put his spirit inside you, and your life will be different. And for those of us who do know you and do have that spirit, let's ask for his power to work in our lives, that we are not zombie Christians. We are joyful, spirit-filled, full of life Christians, that we would be that, whether we're 75 years old or 15 years old. God will do that. He can do that. He wants to do that. So, Father God, you heard these songs, you heard these words. We sang these words, and I believe they're true for all of us here, Lord, to some degree. Never will we be plucked from your hand, Lord, because we are yours. And Lord, just show us that more clearly, more evidently each day, Lord, as we walk with you. Till that day we're with you face to face, and we fully understand what that all is. And so we love you, Lord. We look forward to what you'll do for the rest of this time we spent together. You are a great and marvelous and wonderful and risen God, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Take a seat. So, does anybody have any announcements? No announcements. I can tell you right now, as far as I know, we haven't gotten any real updates on what's going on with the D. So I have nothing to add in that particular area right now at this moment. Craig? Sorry? Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yes, and we will take time out to pray. We're going to do things just slightly different today. We're not going to actually take an offering, but right by Craig there in the back of the sanctuary, and there's that little Navajo weaving. Okay, there's a basket there. If you would, at some point in time, you know, just please put your offering in there. We don't want to take an actual passing the baskets and all that stuff. So that's really the only thing I guess we're going to do a little differently. The service order will continue after you say hello to somebody, all right? There's quite a few faces I haven't seen here in a while. Yeah, now you do have an announcement. Yeah. So did everybody hear that back there? Yeah. See, you're hearing so much better than mine. Hey, praise Jeff, the Lord. Yes, sir.
Why don't you just tell us what's going on so everybody knows?
I thought I just did.
Dissolve
Take a moment, greet somebody, and we'll get back to worship. What are y'all waiting for? Just curious. How many are looking forward to that day? Amen? Yeah. Amen. I don't know about you, but, you know, as beautiful as life can be sometimes, it sure can be depressing sometimes. And the older you get, you know, it just kind of gets more weird. And I think you all know what I'm talking about. But we do serve a living God, a risen God. And I would just ask the question, and I know you know the answer, where does our hope come from? Our hope comes from the Lord. Amen. Because this world is going to constantly, one way or the other, it's going to disappoint us. Sooner or later, it's going to disappoint us. But our hope comes from the Lord. Oh, you can do this. Come on, wake up, folks. We lift up our cry, and he's not a God who's deaf. He's a God who hears, and he knows everything that's going on in our lives. And Yes, he is in heaven right now. He's seated at the right hand of the Father on his throne. But we also know that he has promised to return. And he is ready, ruling and reigning in our hearts. So that's kind of what this next song is all about.
Y'all can sing along if you want.
It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful choir. That's you. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. Let it rise above the four winds, caught up in the heavenly sound. Let prayer from the towers of cathedrals to the faithful gathered underground. Of all the songs sung from the dawn of creation, some were meant to persist. Of all the bells rung from a thousand steeples, none ring truer than this right here, right now. Come on. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, yes. Hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. And all the powers of darkness tremble at what they've just heard. Yeah. 'Cause all the powers of darkness, they can't drown out a single word, no.
A single word.
When all God's children sing out glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns,
he reigns.
All God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns,
he reigns.
All God's people singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns,
hallelujah,
he reigns.
can't keep an old rocker down, can you? Okay, you all got your Bibles now, right?
Yes, sir.
If you don't, that's fine. I'm just going to do some reading here. I'll try and keep it brief because I've got the choir standing up there. But you know how that goes. So, lots of luck, guys. Jesus reigns. He reigns in heaven. He reigns in our hearts. And he's coming back soon. But he hasn't left us as orphans. Didn't he say that if I go to the Father, I will send you a counselor? Did he not say that? Can I? Yes, heads. If the heads can at least do this or this, then I know I'm on track. Okay, praise the Lord. We got a few heads. Bobby. Excellent. If you would, let's turn to John 14. Okay, we're going to look at verses 12 through 20. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. In you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me. But you will see me because I live, you also will live. Do we really get a hold of that idea? The idea that the Holy Spirit lives in us. Now, we've probably read that a million times. We've probably considered it a million times. But do we really get a hold of it? In fact, what's that song? Don't we sing, Hallelujah, He Lives in Me? You know? And we get all charged up, you know, when we sing that song. And rightful, you know, we should. We should, because it's a reminder to us that the Holy Spirit, and as Craig shared this morning, the very Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the one that lives in us, okay? That's an amazing thing. If you would, let's flip to Mark. Mark in chapter 11 and verse 22. And Jesus says, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him. So that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. And I wonder sometimes, personally, you can apply this to yourself, when we pray, is there something that's hindering our prayers? This is an example of something that might, in fact, be hindering our prayers, keeping us from getting the answer. We're also taught that sometimes when we pray, we ask amiss because we're so far out of what God's will for our life is, that he's not about to answer it. He does answer it. It's basically no, you know. It's that sort of thing. But the idea that we can tell a mountain to lift up and get thrown into the sea, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time with that, you know. I mean, it's an amazing thing. But either it's true, either Jesus said that or he didn't. So either he's Lord or he's a liar, or he's clear out of his mind, right? So these are the scriptures, you know, that I ponder constantly. I go over and over in my mind, and how does this make sense? You know, how does that spirit that lives in me, how can I access it more? How can I be more fervent in my prayers? If you would, let's turn to Luke. Luke in chapter 17. How are we doing, choir?
Good.
Good, yeah. Some of the old people sitting there, it's okay. Luke chapter 17, let's take a look at verse 6. If I can find it. There it is. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. There's another fascinating scripture. Now, how does that happen? He talks about a mustard seed. Remember, there's other scriptures when he's referring to the mustard seeds. It says it's the smallest of seeds, yet it grows into a giant tree. Do you suppose God wants our faith, even though it's the size of a mustard seed? Don't you think he wants that faith to grow into some kind of tree? I think that's what Jesus is trying to explain to us by using that example. And right now, I don't know about y'all, but my faith is being stretched. And don't you think God wants to stretch our faith from time to time? And as a body of believers, when we stop and realize that our pastor and his wife aren't here because her daughter's in a really bad way, it kind of makes you wonder, what is God doing? What is God doing to this church and to this body? There's a new movie out, and I think the name of it's Breakthrough. And I was telling Craig the other day, I saw the trailer. And it's a story about a kid who cracks through the ice, and he's under the ice for 15 minutes, okay? They pull him out. They take him to the hospital. So from the time that he's under the ice to the time that they pronounce him dead, it's been an hour, and he's had no heartbeat for an hour. But the mother comes in, and she refuses the idea that her son's dead. So she goes into the room, lays hands on him, and starts to pray. And this is a bona fide scientific miracle, okay? And the doctors will attest to it. After an hour of no pulse, no brain waves, no nothing, he comes back to life. How does that happen? I don't fully understand, and I don't have the answers, but I do know this. I know God right now is working on this body and is trying to stretch our faith. And a lot of times when we pray, nevertheless, your will be done and not ours. That's biblical, okay? And I'm not knocking it, but I wonder sometimes if that's not like a little escape clause that we have in our hearts, you know, a little wiggle room. Well, yeah, I know God can do that. But if he doesn't do it, you know, it's okay because it wasn't his will. I don't know how it all works together, and I'm just sharing you some of the thoughts that I've been dealing with since praying for Dee and just watching what's going on and what Doug and Pat are experiencing, the whole family, and Teddy G sitting in the back there, and he's still fighting with cancer. That family has been through so much. But I believe what God wants us as a body to do is to search our hearts and to try and take that mustard seed and see if we can't water it a little bit and see if we can't make it grow a little bit and just stretch it beyond anything we've yet to experience. Until otherwise, I am going to pray for a miracle for Dee. And I'm going to believe in it. Yes, amen? And that's what we need to do because God can do it. If he can raise the dead, then this is no big deal for him. I'm just sharing my heart, and I'm sharing some of the scripture because he is risen. And we serve a living, a mighty, a powerful God. And he is able to do abundantly above all that we even think to ask. And I've got a list, right? But most of the time I know it's foolishness. So please, let's join together right now. We'll close with a song, but let's pray for Dee. And let's believe that God's going to do something powerful today. And with each and every one of us, he's going to continue to do something powerful with that little mustard seed of faith that we all have. Amen. So let's pray. Father God, we don't always understand what's going on, that's for sure. And some of us, Lord, we've been reading and studying the scriptures for 30, 40 years, and we still really don't get it, Lord. An example of the garden when Jesus went apart from the disciples and prayed so earnestly, Lord, that he was sweating drops of blood, and he would return to his disciples, and they were fast asleep. Because the spirit is willing, Lord, but our flesh is weak, and we do have doubts. And it reminds me of the man who approached Jesus and said, Lord, can you cure my son? Jesus said, do you believe it? And he said, yes, Lord, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. And I pray, Father, that through this time of trial for all the Gibneys, Lord, that we would stand fast in our prayers. Lord, that we would ask for a miracle that's going to blow minds. And so people can look at us and at this tiny little church and say, God answers their prayers. So, Father, we love you. We thank you so much for proving yourself to be God by rising from the dead, spending 40 days after you rose, continuing to teach and to touch. And we ask, Lord, that when we leave here today, we would remember that, Lord, that your desire is to continue to teach us, to touch us, to lift us up, to bring us, each and every one of us, closer to you in the power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
And come.
God bless each and every one of you. So glad we could share in this experience today, just praising the Lord and giving him thanks for the price he paid for all of us. So God be with you. Enjoy the rest of the day.
There's coffee in the back.
Sorry?
Coffee in the back.
Coffee in the back if anybody needs to get more in their veins.
Treats.